Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Kodabasite, and I praise you, Lord, tonight. We're going to have an awesome time with you because you're going to be in charge. You're going to lead us in everything that we do tonight, Father God. I thank you, Father, for revelations coming forth. I thank you for the prayers that are being answered even now, even now, even as we speak. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for all that are being answered and that have been answered. I thank you for all the babies that are recovering quickly. And I thank you for all the people that are recovering quickly that have already recovered. And I praise you for that. And in the name of Jesus tonight, I command all distractions out of here. In Jesus' name, I command the communications to be good for everybody. Nobody's going to miss anything because of their communications. And I praise you, Father, that it's going to be an awesome time. Thank you, Lord, for the dominion that you've given us, also the authority that you've given us. And I praise you, Father, that we use it in our bold faith that you have given us. Everything has been given by you, Father, and we praise you for that. Glory be to God that tonight's going to be an awesome time, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for all the wonderful testimonies that we're seeing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the man-child anointing very, very soon. And I praise you, Father, for not only that, but I thank you for the latter rain anointing upon your bride. It's very, very soon. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're fixing to do. Because it sure looks like this thing is fixing to kick off very, very soon. And we thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, make sure we're ready. I know we're all ready. We're just chomping at the bits. But we thank you, Father, that this great and wonderful thing is about to be upon us here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Father God, I just praise you and thank you that the man child that you have picked to be anointed is ready and he's waiting and he's on go. And I praise you for that, Father. And also the bride, they're ready. They're white as and pure as the driven snow, Lord. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody? Anybody got something they'd like to share as a testimony, a praise report, or a prayer? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I just want, I would like prayer for my eye. I had woke up a couple nights ago and my left eye was very sore and red. It's been red for the last few days. I had my wife and I prayed about it tonight. And I just asked for prayer, just a confirming prayer of that healing that the Lord has provided for me in Jesus.
Amen. Well, Father, we lift up Pat to you and we thank you for his prayers. We hook our faith up with him and we take authority over this abnormal, whatever it is in his eye. You go from him and I command that eye to be healed, cleared up, and he can see better out of it than he could before in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, that his left eye is completely healed with 20/20 vision. Matter of fact, better than that, whatever that is. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing his eye, taking any pain, any discomfort out of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, anyone else? In Jeremiah 32:27, it says this in the big book. It says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" No. You can bring anything you want to the Lord, and he can take care of it if you just have a little bit of faith. And it don't take much, and he's already given you the amount you need. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. There's a bunch of them. How many of you have this booklet, The Sword of the Lord, and utilize it? The Sword of the Lord. It's on site. None of you have it? Oh, you ought to get it. Glory to God. It is so good. All it is promises. That's all it is. He says, it is written, God fights for you. I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and all the Tite brothers. Gone. Glory to God. They're gone. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. That's a book that I carry with me. I got one in my truck. I got one here. Probably got one stuck in my coat, too. Yeah, there it is right there. Julie posted it up there. I put it in a little booklet style. That's the way I did it. Carry it with me. Sometimes I carry it with me. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got anything they'd like to pray about or have a testimony about? Yeah, Ben.
I was able to witness to somebody pray.
All right.
Yeah. His name was Kendall. I saw him at the Independent. That's actually just right beside my dad's building. And I don't usually go to that grocery store. So there's already something leading on to that. And then he's not a very rich person, so he was begging for money. And he said, do you have $2? And I said, I can do you better. I got $5. And then he said, oh, that's great. That's awesome. I can buy more weed. And then he said, is that okay? And then I was about to give it to him. And then he said, is that okay if it's for weed? I don't want to like make you do something you don't want to put money to. And then all I said was, brother, you don't need that. You need Jesus. And he said, and the crazy part was, so he said, you know what? It's crazy that you said that because there's been a lot going on in my life right now because I'm a Muslim, but I'm starting to see the wrongness of it. And I said, well, that's just Jesus working into you to show you the truth. And then I gave him Revelation 3:20. I gave him Galatians 2:20. And I told him that at the cross, he gave not only us forgiveness, but he gave us new life. Anyways, I really tried to just like simplify it. I also told him in his Quran where it talks about Jesus. And then I told him to read the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And I don't know, he said he'd do it. I don't know if he's going to, but anyways, I'd also like if we could all pray for Kendall as well, just so that he could remember to at least just read that one chapter. And Isaiah 53, that was another chapter that I told him to read. I'm excited to see him again. As I said, I think we're going to see each other again.
What's his name?
His name's Kendall.
Kendall. Okay. Okay. Well, Lord, we lift up Kendall to you. Father God, I just pray for Kendall. I thank you, Father, for breaking the power of Muslim off of him in the name of Jesus. False religion, and I thank you for it, Father. It's a murderous type of religion. And I thank you, Father, that even if he stays in that Quran, that he looks up the stories of Jesus in there, because there's more stories in there of Jesus than there are of Muhammad. Amen. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that he'll come to the conclusion that Jesus is love and Muhammad is dead. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for opening up his spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to hear and to see. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Kendall's life right now. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Woo! Is that Katie? Hey, Katie, what's up, girl?
Hey!
How you doing?
Really, really good. God is just blowing me away still with everything that he's been doing in our lives.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'll tell you what, I've already gotten some feedback from your testimony. Good feedback. People are changing their ways that they're talking to people now. And that's good.
Thank God. That's one what I prayed the whole time.
one guy wrote me and he said, boy, he said that testimony that Katie had, he said, it changed my attitude toward my mother.
Wow.
He said, I've been estranged from her for a year now. He said, but I called her and I talked to her and I'm going up to see her now.
Wow. Praise
and
the
he's just
Lord.
Gonna love on her. Yeah. Praise God.
Oh, that's
awesome.
So amazing. That is so amazing.
Yeah.
That's what I prayed every day during that whole trial was just, Lord, use this for your glory in any way possible. And to hear that he is doing that is just so exciting and just a huge blessing for me.
It is. It is. It's a blessing. All right, Barry or Marilyn.
Okay.
Oh, I just wanted to tag on a bit for praying for Kendall.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
Father, I just thank you and praise you for divine appointments. That's something Barry and I pray every night. We pray for the body, and that's one of the things that we pray. And Lord, that you orchestrated this. And Father, I just wanted to pray, certainly in agreement with everything my beloved brother Michael prayed, but Father, your word says that none can come to you except they be drawn by the Spirit. And they have to come through Jesus. So, Father, we pray for Kendall that he is drawn by your Spirit, that there's a real outpouring and a drawing of your Holy Spirit upon him. And it's going to, that he's going to have a desire and a seeking for the truth. And Lord, that he is going to, the Holy Spirit is going to remind him of the scriptures and the chapters that that Ben spoke to him about. And Lord, that he is just going to have a compelling desire to be in the Word. Forget about the, you know, the Korean. He's just going to put that aside. He is just going to be so overcome by your Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to enlighten the eyes of his understanding, and that grant unto him the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And Lord, you just, wow. You know, there's a lot that we don't understand exactly how the Spirit moves, but Lord, you do, and it's your grace and it's your mercy, upon the elect. And I thank you for this divine appointment. I believe that Kendall is one of your elect, and this meeting is going to bear forth really good fruit. And Lord, that you will, you're just going to work things out where Ben's going to get to see him again, and you're going to draw them together into the fellowship of the Spirit of Christ. And we just command Kendall to come into the kingdom and that he's going to be a dear brother in Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you're the one that's doing it and you get all the glory. We just get to ask and let you take care of everything else. So Father, we thank you and bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. We thank you, Lord, that Mary Jane's gone too. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I had something on my mind. I'm trying to think of what it was. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Katie.
So tomorrow I'm meeting with my cousin Elena for the first time in a long time. I had seen her last Saturday and it just broke my heart for her because she was watching, you know, me play with the baby. And then she told me that for 2 years, her and her husband have been trying for a baby, but she's dealing with infertility issues and she's not a believer anymore. But she follows me and all I ever post about is Jesus. So I invited her over and I just feel like the Lord is going to do something in that and that he's going to lead my words. And I really want to pray over her against the infertility and everything. And I'm praying in advance that there's going to be a praise report and that God's going to get the glory in it. And that is going to draw her to the Lord. So if you guys could just agree with me in faith that God's going to speak through me tomorrow and use me to lead her back to him and that there's going to be a praise report there and that her and her husband are going to conceive.
Amen. You go pray?
Yes. Dear Lord, I just come to you in the name of Jesus and I just lift up Elena to you and I come against this curse of infertility on her life, Lord. I just break it in the name of Jesus and I thank Amen. You that you're going to lead my words tomorrow, that it's not going to be me speaking when I pray over her and when I minister to her, that's going to be you speaking through me. And I pray that every word spoken is just going to touch her, Lord, and that it's going to really move in her heart and that you're just going to honor those words and that you're going to just water those seeds that are planted tomorrow as well, Lord, and that you're going to send other people to her as well to just continue to speak faith over her. And I just pray that her and her husband conceive and that she gets the baby that she's been longing this whole time for, Father God, in the perfect timing, and that her and her husband rejoice and they rejoice in you, Father God, and that it brings them back to you and that true salvation for both of them is what is going to just bring them closer to you and to each other, and that they'll be able to raise this baby up in the way that it should go, and that the baby will know you, and that there will be another family, one for you, Jesus. And we just thank you in advance for all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Katie, I heard 11 months from this day, they'll have a baby.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down.
11 months from this day. Thank you, Father. I said, well, why 11? Why not 9? You know, he said 11 months from today.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. I'm going to write that down. Yeah, another baby. Yeah, Marilyn.
If I could just add on there really quick to your prayer, Katie. Father, we pray that she's got a fertile womb, not only in the natural, but in the spirit. And that what Katie ministers to her, that the seed is sown in her spiritual womb and that it's going to bear forth really good fruit, that she's not just going to have, that she's not just going to become fertile in the natural, but it's going to be in the spirit as well. There's going to be a mighty move of the Holy Spirit, that the love of God's really going to touch her heart. And you're going to know it, Katie. That the Lord will just open the door for you. It's going to be so easy, Father. Amen. We pray tonight that her heart's being prepared to receive not only in the natural, the prayers in the natural for this baby, but in the spirit, that she's going to be able to receive the word, that the word is going to be sown in fertile ground. And it's going to bear forth fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe it, Lord. Thank you, Father, for bringing her in and the baby too. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Morgan, Geneva, and Micah, go ahead.
I have a quick little testimony. You know, pretty big deal for us. The Lord, we've been needing tires on our Jeep for a very, very long time. And it's one of those things that kept getting put off. And then, you know, as times kind of went on, it would just became a little bit too expensive. And so, anyways, we tried to get some tires on and they were ended up being the wrong size and just a bunch of back and forth. And, you know, I said a prayer and we just put it in the Lord's hands. I said, Lord, you know we need these tires. You know, it's tires are expensive, and then to have them put them on is also expensive. So just make it happen. And a dear sister offered help with that, and I really appreciate that. I thank the Lord for her. And, you know, so, but I just, at the time, I was just like, Lord, just show me what to do. I don't know. And I'm just going to wait for Morgan to, you know, decide what we need to do, because, you know, at the time we didn't have funds. And anyways, out of nowhere, Morgan's grandpa calls and is like, hey, so somebody said something that y'all need tires. And he's like, I'm going to pick up your Jeep and I'm going to go buy y'all all new tires. And the Lord did that. And it was just out of nowhere. God. We didn't even know, you know, how he knew or anything. And he came, took our car, put all new tires on it and brought it here. And I just, we just can't thank the Lord enough for, you know, using him to do that for us. It's just such a blessing, especially, you know, when you're in need, put it in the Lord's hands. And, you know, Morgan has to drive pretty far to work. So, and it's winter time coming soon. So, and just knowing that he's got new tires, really thankful. And you know, the good thing too is Papaw said, hey, well, I'll take those tires that didn't fit and I'll go bless somebody else with them. So praise the Lord for that. So just thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's what Papaws are good for.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Talking about witnessing somebody, Ben, the other day I was in the grocery store and there was a guy in front of me, and he was in one of those little battery operated carts, you know. Y'all quit. And anyway, his name was Randy. I asked him, I said, what's your name? He said, Randy. I said, what happened to you? He was in one of those electric carts, you know, that the invalids have. I said, what happened to you? He said, I had a real bad motorcycle accident some time ago. And it did all this stuff. I said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah. He kind of hesitated, looked at me, and he looked at that six pack of beer he had in his cart, you know, that legal spirit dropped on him. But anyway, I said, I don't worry about that. I said, God can heal you anyway he wants to. And I said, let me pray for you. So I prayed for him. He told me what was wrong with him. I prayed all that. I don't remember everything, but it was, you know, it was a list of it. And I told him, I said, now, Randy, you're healed. You are healed, brother, because the power of God was all over me when I prayed for him. I said, when you get home, I said, you start praising and thanking God. I said, you used to know the Lord, didn't you? He said, yeah. I said, you kind of slipped away. I said, that's okay. You can come back to him now. I said, in order to keep that healing, I said, you need to repent and come back to the Lord, and it'll stay with you. He said, you know, I'm going to think about that, really. I said, no, don't think about it. Get home and start thanking God because you're healed. He said, okay, I'll do this. And then he let me go in front of him. He didn't have but two items in his thing, and I didn't have but one. I said, okay. But anyway, it was real neat. Made a new friend. Another new friend. All right. Anybody else? All right. Yeah, Pat.
I was reading yesterday in Mark, and I was reading about the situation where Jesus, it was in Mark chapter 6. Is this when he, he went out from thence. He came into his own country. He came, basically, he went to his own house, his own neighborhood.
How about Nazareth?
Yeah. I'll just start reading it. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, "Whence has this man these things? And what is the wisdom that is given unto this man? And what mean such mighty works wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended in him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could do no mighty work, save that which he laid hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and went round about the villages teaching." And I got to thinking about that, because I've been thinking about revival I just, you know, quickly thought, wondering back, has revival ever come to a place that wasn't in absolute desperate need? And I'm trying to think. Well, I guess the thought I was working on was that people, societies, you know, and individuals really won't reach out for God until they're in a place of hopelessness. Now, I'm going to say that hopelessness, or that out of resources, or whatever it is, can come in and look like many things. You know, to certain people, it means certain things, and certain, you know, other people, it means other things. For instance, you can, you know, you've heard of a lot of people that are wealthy and rich committing suicide and bailing off of, you know, buildings or whatever the thing would be, simply because of the pressures and not being able to meet the need of the moment, at least the way they saw it. As I was thinking about it, it just is interesting how, after you're born again, the very first thing that God does, I mean, there's, you know, there's a time of excitement and joy and that lasts various different lengths in different people's lives. But sooner or later, you end up going into the wilderness, and you start to struggle with certain things, and you start to have needs come up in your life that you simply can't address under your own resources. And of course, you know, we cry out to God, and he continues to lead us, and he provides what we need at the time we need it, etc. But the interesting thing about the time of Jesus and the biblical time then, or the time in the society then, is they were a slave nation. They were under bondage. You know, they had a negotiated captivity, so to speak, but they were still under the Roman authority. And But those people were in need. Those people, they didn't have doctors. I mean, they didn't have the medical profession. They didn't have grocery stores. They didn't have all of the modern conveniences of life. They didn't have all the wealth that America has and, you know, the Western civilization and the majority of the world now. They didn't have all these resources that they could fall back on. And when Jesus went through the land, miracles flew. Miracles flew, and people were healed, and demons were cast out, and people swarmed to them, and 5,000 were fed, you know, and there was all kinds of things, miracles happening then. But the thing I was reading in that verse, and I think that it is also contingent upon that the promises of God and the intensity that people embrace God are really dependent upon their own willingness to give up and trust God. In other words, if the rich people have their own resources, and and I'll just say America in general is a wealthy nation that has multiple resources to fall back on, and in one sense, we are tempted not to trust God here, not to trust God, but to fall upon our own resources. And quite frankly, I do it all the time in many things, much to my chagrin or shame, you might say. But God, I believe, is taking the world and the United States through a time where he's going to remove resources. He's going to destroy the things that we depend upon. And people will be forced to seek out the only true source of power and life and provision and solutions and all the promises of God wrapped up. But God has to provide the environment that supports that. And unfortunately, you know, we've been listening to it for the last, you know, a few weeks on God's provision and protection, et cetera, that David has been speaking about. But there is this revival that is coming is also connected with the devastation that is coming upon the world, and both of them are going to come at the same time. And that's why I believe that people's hearts are going to be so open to receiving God, because there's all of the other hopes and benefits and resources that we depended upon are going to go down the tubes. So, the world, Christians are going to be overwhelmed with people coming to them and needing help and needing resources. And, the old way not that this is a bad thing, but, you know, missionaries giving their lives and going over and doing and spending and going out and rounding up money in the churches and trying to funnel resources to the field, this and that. Those are the things of the past. The only thing that's going to be able to address and meet the need of this coming revival and influx of people is Christ alone. Is Christ in you the hope of glory? Is God flowing through you and feeding the people? Because only a conduit is going to be able to provide the resources for that much need. It's like one individual or a group of individuals cannot do it unless they are simple conduits of God's power and grace and life and provision flowing out into others. And it just, I think that's kind of the crux of what David is talking about in the man-child teachings and the bride, etc. But I can just see God setting up the building blocks of this thing right now. And I have kind of a description for what's going to happen. And I know in my construction business, where we deal on schedules and lack of information and various other different things to try to push through and get buildings constructed and projects turned over, you literally get to a point in that project where things are moving so fast and you feel like the only thing you can do is like you're riding on a surfboard. You've hit the wave and you're just holding on for dear life and riding it in and just hoping you make it to the shore type of thing, because you feel so out of control, but you're just riding the immensity of this flow, this force going in. And I believe that that is what we're getting ready to see and experience. I praise the Lord, and I pray, you know, that he prepares our hearts and allows us to understand. Father, I just ask that you would open up. You'd open up our hearts to receive your fullness and to touch us, Lord, with your presence. And we praise you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for the time that you've created us in and the excitement of this time. And just the opportunity to see you work. I just praise you. Praise you for your life flowing through us to the world. And we praise you for your goodness in our life, Lord, and allowing us to see and to ride the wave with you as it comes through. And we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for that you're going to even provide the provisions to get this gospel going during the tribulation. We praise you for that, Father. You're going to not only that, Lord, you're going to help with your angels to do whatever needs to be done. If you need us doing something else. And Lord, I thank you for that. It's just going to be an awesome time. Awesome time. And I praise you, Father, that it's going to be for those that are in the bride and in the man-child ministry. It's going to be a wonderful time of doing God's work. And thank you, Father, that this is going to be the greatest time, greatest influx of people into the kingdom during the next 7 years. And we praise you, Father, for it. In Jesus' mighty name, glory be to God. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
When Pat was saying all that he was saying, what came to my mind was, I had to look it up because I didn't know where it was. Well, what came to my mind is, you know, there's supposed to be this big payout and everything. And Pat was saying about resources other than money. I mean, if there's a food shortage, a shortage of this, a shortage of that, devastation and everything, what good is money to you, you know? And what came to me is this Ezekiel 7:19. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be as an unclean thing. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it hath been the stumbling block of their iniquity. Money is that people are going to find out that money's not the savior. The Lord's the savior.
Amen. Well, I think you're right. I believe it's going to help to get us through the first 3.5 years. And, but then the last 3.5 years, your faith is going to have to kick in somewhere. That's why he's given us 3.5 years to get our faith, for the bride to help the people coming in to get their faith up to the point of where they can believe God for whatever they need. And I thank him for it too, because it's going to be an awesome, awesome time. Yeah, Katie.
Yeah. So actually, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was now that, I was in prayer and I'm like, Lord, what is going on? Because for the last year, it's just been like trial after trial after trial. And I'm like, Lord, what is all this? And he spoke to me so plainly. He just said that he's preparing me for the perilous times that are going to come, because, you know, we're going to need to know how to trust him in literally every area of our lives. And God was just showing me that all of those trials that I was, you know, going through and like feeling, what the heck? It was all for so much good, because what's the best way to learn, right? Like by going through it and by experiencing it with the Lord yourself, you know, because you can hear all these testimonies and they really build your faith, but nothing builds your faith quite like when you go through it and you see, oh, wow, you know? And so it's been amazing. It's been hard, but amazing. And, you know, a lot of them have been like physical trials, and people are looking at Tim and I like we're crazy because, you know, we're speaking the word and speaking faith. And it's a hard topic. Like people really can get upset at you, you know, and you're just walking in faith and they think that is pride or something, but it's really not. Like it's just the word, you know, and I don't want to speak anything other than what the Lord says in his word. So yeah, people are looking at us like we're crazy, but praise God, because I know that times are coming where they're going to instead look at us like we're crazy, but look to us and be like, well, how did you get through this? So praise the Lord.
Amen. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's not prideful, but bold. Yeah, that's right, Ben. Amen. Is that Elisha? What are you doing, boy? Oh, you trying to hide now?
Hi, Michael.
Hey, buddy. You can't hide behind that blanket. That blanket's been around for too long anyway. That thing ought to be hard as a brick.
Say hi.
Can you say hi, Michael? No? Okay. I don't want you. Don't you even say hi, Michael. I'm telling you not to say it. Do not say hi, Michael.
You can do that. Oh, don't say it. You said don't.
Nuh-uh. Amen. That's my buddy.
Now he says it.
What'd you say?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, buddy. What's so funny about that? That's my buddy there. One of many. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Benita. How you doing, girl?
Hi, everyone. I'm doing great.
Awesome.
Praise the Lord. I couldn't talk last week when we got on, and I just, wanted to just praise the Lord for getting me home from Tennessee last week. And it was a trial for sure. But we were supposed to get home by 5:30 in the afternoon. We got home at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I could not believe it. Usually I get in the car and I'm like tired immediately. I just get tired driving. And I was not tired the whole way home. He just kept me awake and alert. And I just didn't get tired. I'm like, I've got this bed in the back of this car. I can just pull over and sleep. But I didn't need to. So I just kept going. So it was great. But,
what was wrong with your van? Transmission.
The transmission started slipping, and then it wouldn't go into wouldn't drive in overdrive, and so I had to put it in drive, and then it kept slipping out of drive. So I could, you know, go like 15 to 25 miles an hour, and then it would slip, and then I'd have to. And then for a little while, like right after, this is the other part of the testimony, right after you all prayed and I was praying over the car and driving, I probably drove for, this is like 30 or 40 minutes. It's 65 miles an hour. Awesome. And I just like went as fast. I was like, let me get as far as I can. And I was just, Nick and I were just praising the Lord and just, we were just having a great time driving fast. And then it slipped and like, Nick's like, what was that? That's not okay. We prayed over this.
Yeah.
So, but we got home safely and, you know, it started at 5:30 on the way home. That's when it started acting up, and that was rush hour. And so to only be going 25 miles an hour at rush hour, that was not okay. So we of course had to take the back roads, and then we were out in the farm country all the way. Just look at, it was just beautiful out there. We saw the most beautiful sunset on the way home. It was just beautiful. All this farmland. So we enjoyed our little trip on the side.
Praise God. The Lord. Amen. Nick had a good time, I think, while he was here.
Oh, he did. Yep. Frank said, Nick came home and told me he wanted to move down there. I said, well, yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah, he had a wonderful time. He really played with the last day that y'all were here. It wasn't Pop Blessing Day. He was out there playing with Obadiah and all of them. They were getting the kite. He's helping them get the kites up. He was helping them do the all that stuff, you know. And I thought that was great. He loves kids.
Yeah, over at Fio and Lana's house, it was such a blessing to. That they had us over and we played games, had a great time with everybody. So,
yeah. Amen. Okay. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? Amen. All right. What do y'all want to talk about? You want to talk about Jesus? All right. Jesus is a good subject. I think we were in Romans somewhere, but I don't have a clue where we left off in Romans. Do y'all? I don't know, I may have marked it. Maybe.
I think we're at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It's the last I had highlighted.
Okay.
5:12.
Oh, 5:12. Okay. Hey, that's what I got too. Okay, I got it highlighted too. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go through it and see what we can find. See what the Lord has for us here. Romans 5 and 12. Everybody ready? Okay. Therefore, as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death passed unto all men, for that all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. What's he talking about there? Anybody want to hazard a guess or tell me? Let's go about piece by piece here. Let me get back here. 5:12. Therefore, as through one man, sin entered into the world. Well, we know that was Adam. And death through sin. Well, the spiritual man died right then, didn't he? And so death passed unto all men, for that all sinned. Well, after that, everybody that was born into sin, wasn't he? For until the law, sin was in the world. What's he talking about there? Somebody else answer here. For until the law, sin was in the world. What law is he talking about? Yeah, Barry.
Well, at this point, since we're talking about Adam and back in that time, everything was okay. The only law was thou shalt not eat of it. They shouldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So for them, their sin consists of that only. That was the only sin that they could commit. So if they wanted to go shoplift at Walmart or steal cars or something, that was okay. But they weren't supposed to. They weren't supposed to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah, that's right. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Well, there was no law until Moses, wasn't it? So everything was, like Barry said, you go right straight to Walmart and get what you want. Like they're doing now in some cities, you know. They're doing it now in some city. Oh, my. All right, let's go on. Anybody got anything else they want to talk about right on those two verses? Okay. 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. What in the world is he talking about? Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Yeah, Pat.
I guess the thing that is hits me is that that sin, that Adam brought sin, the sin nature into the world, and every man from him, or, you know, his offspring, every one that came from his loins inherited that same sin nature. But until the law, say the law of Moses, where God clearly laid out rules, do's and don'ts, that sort of thing, mankind was, for the most part, ignorant of their deeds, whether they were good or evil, other than just, I'm assuming that obviously they had a conscience at that time. We all, you know, every man has a conscience. Every person has a conscience. And, but there was no, so there's a sense of not knowing or an ignorance of what God's demands or requirements are. Everything is more or less very vague at that time. However, or I say that they're vague, they're not known or whatever. I think it's a more or less assumed, proven fact that mankind was multitudes of intelligence higher than what we are today. But the knowledge, specific, at least written or known knowledge of God's right and wrong, and was not known at that time until the law came. However, the consequences of that sin were still felt and experienced through mankind, in that they died, or death was brought upon all mankind. The last part, who is a figure of him that was to come, I'm assuming that we're talking about Jesus there, but I'm kind of foggy on the, you know, the figure and how the figure connects and makes a connection here. So I'm assuming it gets clarified as we proceed on, but he just alludes to the fact that nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. So, I'm not sure I can say anything about that right. I'm not quite clear as to what he's talking about there in that last portion of the verse. But anyway, that's it.
Okay. All right. Let's see what Andrew has to say. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, if you go to, since we're in chapter 5, we can hop on down to chapter 5 of Genesis, and it's Adam's descent to Noah. And in 5:2, he says, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created. So here you have one person, Adam, but there's two people in him. Eve is within him, Adam. And this figure of the one to come, Jesus, is one body, and we're one body in Christ through the last Adam. And that's the figure. It's a parable. It's an allegory. It's a type and shadow of this first Adam, before he took Eve out of Adam. So, we're one body in Christ, and however, there are, as it says in, is it Corinthians chapter 12, that there's several parts to this body. So, but it's still all one body. It's all one loaf. So, it signifies that through Jesus, we are one body now, and we get back into that one last Adam, which is the life-giving spirit, which we need to have that light and life in our soul, to love him with all our soul too. And of course, when he does call us, he gives us a certain amount of fruit when we're called, and we build up from there in our soul to be like one body with him, to attain more and more fruit in Christ. So I hope you, I just look at it that way, because if there's a last Adam and there was a first Adam, and we're all from that first Adam, but now we're not all from the last Adam, but this last Adam is in many different places now, because we're one body together with him. So it's one body in accordance to Ephesians 4:4. One body, one spirit. So we're all one in him now. For those who are called, and we have to grow in that fruit of Christ. And you can grow an individual fruit. When it says in First John 5 and chapter 5 again, 5 and 3 and 4 and 5, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" So there's a triple overcoming there. And we all overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So, there's the overcoming through the Holy Spirit, and there's the overcoming with the water of the word too, because these three are connected. And a little further down in that chapter 5, it even mentions the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. So there's a one body here that you attain through this figure. Sometimes I keep forgetting that word, because that figure word is also used in 1 Corinthians 10:11, in the Numeric English New Testament. Anyway, that's the one where it shows the type and shadow of the new man. That's the one to come. And what he does for us to attain this figure also with him. We're supposed to be joined to Christ as children now, but there is a maturity coming for many. Praise and glory to God. That's what I see anyway.
I was muted. All right. That death that reigned from Adam until Moses, what was that? That's death of the spirit, wasn't it? There was no spirit. The spirit of God left him. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression. So the spirits of, they were spiritually dead at during that time. Who is a figure of him that was to come? Ooh, that's Jesus. Because Jesus was called the second Adam, wasn't he? Yeah. Okay. Good deal. All right, let's go on. But not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. For if by the trespass of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound unto the many. That's a mouthful. I'll read it again. Oh, changed on me. Quit that. But not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. For if by the trespass of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound unto the many. What'd that mean? Come on now, y'all can help me out here. Let me read it slow this time. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, from what I'm getting is everyone became spiritually dead because of what Adam did. Why not because of what Jesus did at the cross, everyone would become spiritually alive. Yep. So it's kind of just like the opposite of what Adam did. That's what I'm getting from this. If Adam can, well, Adam didn't kill anyone, but if he spiritually died and then that sort of the offspring of him sort of made everybody spiritually dead, everyone that is spiritually the offspring of Jesus will be spiritually alive.
Amen. Now, I'm going to ask a question after Barry gets through telling me some more here. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I've got a different translation here, it says, but the gracious gift is not like the transgression. That clears up quite a bit right there. For if the many died through the transgression of the one man, how much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, multiply to the many? So for me, that was a little bit more clear.
Yeah. Well, what'd that mean?
Says that through one man came all these problems and through one man came all the solutions.
Yeah. Because he went to the cross and the Lord put all their sins and healings and all sicknesses and all of that stuff on him. And also sent who back? The Spirit of God back. So we can have communion with the Lord. Okay, anybody else? Anybody got a different interpretation? Okay, let's go to 16. And not as through one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment came of one unto condemnation, but the free gift came of many trespasses unto justification. And not as through one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment came of one unto condemnation, but the free gift came of many trespasses unto justification. What in the world? Somebody, yeah, Pat.
It's almost confusing. It is confusing. Put it that way, because you have to think kind of in reverse there. But what's coming to me is that there's some significant differences here in the comparison, and that is when Adam sinned, we all inherited it. Whether we had a choice or not, we received the sin nature through inheritance. Likewise, when Jesus, when we received Christ, we received the free gift of eternal life, but I'm not sure I want to say but here. Connected with that life, there is the walking it out and receiving of the fullest benefit of that awareness or that that life. And so I'm thinking of it. It is a free gift, and our salvation is a free gift, but it unfolds through, shall we say, through the expulsion or the unfolding of trespasses within us to be able to acquire and apprehend either a greater sense. Did something happen? A greater sense of that salvation. So I'm not sure I'm kind of mulling this over in my mind as I'm thinking about it, but maybe I'm getting too complicated on myself here or something, but not as the one that sinned, not as the one that sinned, so is the gift. So I'm just, I guess I'm putting there's a difference in Adam, the first Adam, the second Adam, in that aspect of it is that the first Adam, of course, we inherited the sin nature, and well, you know what? I'm going to just let it go at that. I'm not sure where I'm even going with it. So.
Okay, well, you're going along good.
Not from my perspective.
All right, anyone else? Anyone else? No. All right, let's go to 17. I think this is going to clear it all up, ain't it? It's going to do it right here. For if by the trespass of the one, death reigned through the one, much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, even Jesus Christ. Now, but why didn't they say that at the beginning as to going through all of that other stuff? You know, that would have been a lot simpler than us trying to figure out what Paul was trying to say here. Okay. Well, we understand that, don't we? Anybody not understand it, raise your hand. No, don't do that. As you can see, the righteousness reign in life through Jesus Christ, because he lives inside of us when we come to, when we're born again. All right, 5 and 18. So then, as through one trespass, the judgment came, unto all men to condemnation. Even so, through one act of righteousness, the free gift came unto all men to justification of life. So, he likes to go around the tree, round and round for a while, and then he come right down to it. So what he's telling us, of course, is that everything that we get from Jesus is a free gift. It's nothing that we have to work for, and it's by faith that we receive it all. Does everybody see that, don't you? Is there something else there? Might be something else there. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, we get a lot of justification unto justification. And then in the next 17, it says, through the one Jesus Christ. And then in the one you just read, unto justification of life. So, this justification goes right back up to 5:1. Justified, therefore, out of faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, justification is you're being made righteous. And it's a process of progress because we want to arrive also at that sanctification. Mm-hmm. So that's why he's doing this. He's just kind of showing
hammer
us
it home.
It's a process of progress.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But what's that? I'm trying to remember the book. Salvation, instantaneous and progressive.
Instant and progressive.
Yeah.
That's a good book.
Justification is instantaneous and progressive. and when you're justified, he gives you something, and then you'll know, well, I know that, and then you get sanctified. You get more glory and more bread in your soul to look like that original spirit, that life-giving spirit that Jesus gives to you in your spirit. So it gets transferred over to your soul from your spirit and from the grace. And grace is the altar you stand in to ask so you can receive, and seek so that you can seek that you can find and knock, and so it'll be opened unto you. So every test, you're really knocking and asking for more of the Lord. Because the faith collates with the grace, and by that faith, we have access unto his grace wherein we stand. We stand in that by faith in the grace. In our altar of prayer, or just recognizing that it is finished, that's what we claim. Anyway, praise and glory to God. Mm-hmm. It's all done. It's all him. Our sufficiency is from God and in with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Y'all see that baby down there? Look at Jesse. Boy, look at him grinning from big. Good gracious. Hey, Marissa. Glory to God. Okay, yeah, that's right, Andrew. Then 19, for through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one shall the many be made righteous. For as through the one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made sinners. Yep. Even so, through the obedience of the one, that's Jesus, shall the many be made righteous. Amen. That's pretty simple. And the law came in besides, that the trespass might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did abound more exceedingly. Somebody let me know what that means. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, your altar of grace is where you go when you mess up with 1 John 1:9 or 1 John 2:1. You go to your lawyer, who's Jesus, and he's the advocate. If he wrote you these things so you don't sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. But what we want to do is get to the right side of this as quickly as possible and not have to go through chapter 7 of Romans. Because, you know, he goes on and on. Many people quote those verses. You got to quote 8:1 or 2 if you're going to quote from when he calls the law holy, I think in verse 12, all the way through to 8:1. Where's that really lovely verse we all like to quote? And then there's the 8:13 where, you know, you've got to use your sword. You know, you're being tempted and you're also being instructed how to overcome things, to live after the spirit, not after the flesh. And for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if you through the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we sometimes have to do this. Well, you want to live in the spirit, not in the flesh. So you do it all the time for everything. Everything. It's a constant battle between flesh and spirit. And the spirit has to win. And since he already tied him up and took all his armor away, but he had to leave his mouth open, he couldn't gag him because you still have to be tested. But you're fully dressed in an armor, a suit of armor of God, and that's in Ephesians. And I don't know, you should be able to poke him.
Should give us that right, huh?
Actually, I shouldn't laugh at that because a lot of people get saved and they have no idea that they have power. They need some power verses for, you know, like I have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. It would have been so much easier for all of us here to realize that we had that power, and you should have at least a few of these verses, like 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down those temptations or imaginations, you know, where they came from. If you couldn't discern that before you were saved, but now you can. And there has been said once, you know, you can use this as a comparison for any of the ailments that come to you, any of the sicknesses, because they're cast down too. Because it says so in 1 Peter 2:24. There is power in the Word of God.
Yep.
When Charles Darwin was giving his evolution, he was baptized as a Christian, but they have a form of godliness but deny the power. From these also turn away. So that's why he couldn't turn away from it, because he didn't have power in the Word of creation, which I think is very paramount. You know, come on, look what they don't have power in now. You got Christians killing each other and they think it's okay. They're baptized too, you know. No, we need to really stand for God and try to explain what that birth was that we went through. What we received there. And this is what's destroying a lot of people. They don't have anything to wield a sword with. You know, and it says, my people perish from the lack of knowledge. No, you have the sword of the Spirit of God. And we need to use it. And the armor. He's all tied up. You know, you can even go to the shepherd of Hermas. They had the big monster there. And it fell down before Hermas. And all that came out of the monster's mouth was his tongue. It didn't affect Hermas that was in his dream. Well, some would say, well, he wasn't going to be living in our time, but he had his own time there, and he had to conquer things there too, where he was about to go through. And that's why it says, escape the wrath to come in the Shepherd of Hermas. Some people would say, hey, they had the wrong time there. That was in the 1600s, 1670s. No, there was a wrath there for many of those people who were realizing new things, and these things all were restored to up to our time, and there is a wonderful big restoration, the final one coming. And I don't know exactly how that's going to look like, but we have to continue. We have to continue. No matter what, it's the precious pearl. It's the treasure hidden. And you're buying that piece of land where the treasure's hidden, and you're going to sell everything you got for that pearl. And you can use those two to compare the woman who has the two mites. We want to do it. It's been given to us. We have to guard the deposit, but we need someone to guard it, the deposit too, and that's Christ in you. And that's the Father. Fathers back their children. They're there for you. Not, well, you know, sometimes you could have had a really weird father, but, you know, fathers usually have a way of showing their fatherhood, no matter how bad or how good, you know. Some might have some honor or something that they like in it, a lot. So, praise and glory to God. We have to stretch our hand forth to the Father to love Him, to give us the love we need to have to love Him. And of course, we ask for that love and truth, because it's got to be a true love. And there's power in all of those words. Every single word you read here, there's justification, there's power in that word, because it's in the Bible. Grace, there's power in grace. There's power in the love, in the joy, in the peace, in the long suffering. There's power in all these words. There's power in creation. I mean, to make it all, he needed power, and he's creating us now in Christ Jesus. And of course, when people take away other people's choices to have that power, is sometimes done with beguilement. They lie and they trick you. Because there's a different set of words, a different narrative that brings forth a different name, a different mark, a different image, a different spirit, and a different lifestyle. And that's on the left hand, and we want the right hand, the right mark, the right name, the right spirit, the right image. Praise and glory to God. And you know, that's just 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you know. What fellowship hath righteousness with iniquity? You have to weigh it. What's on the right side and what's on the left? The sheep and the goats. The goat has a different word, a different name. And we all know who the leading vessel of dishonor at God's left hand is and the leading vessel of honor at God's right hand. And this is why we need the word. so that we can have a crown to give to the Lord. It's when we get there. You know, there's a song out there, even sung by very, very unspiritual people, crown him with many crowns. Not in all the churches, but praise the glory to God. I'm working on being my Lord's workmanship. And the only way I can do that is rest. Our work, when I was told that my work is to rest, I can be really good at resting at night and stuff, but that's not what it means. Praise and glory to God. Our work is to rest, you know, and it has to happen now because he told Isaiah to say, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So he has to do that agape now for us. And that's why God so loved the world. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Well, I got one more verse in this chapter. That as sin reigned in death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen to that. I think we all know what he's talking about. Does anybody not know what he's talking about there? That eternal life is through. Excuse me. Come out in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if we got Jesus Christ and we're doing what he wants us to do, then we have eternal life. Now then, I asked this question the other night, since we got a little bit of time here. I'm not going to go ahead and go to the next chapter right now. And the ones that got this answer right don't answer. But I hear preachers say all the time that he's fixing to get into the meat of the word. Get out of the milk and into the meat of the word. But what does the Bible say about the meat of the word? Julie, you already know.
Well,
go ahead.
But when you were just saying that, and what came to my mind is like, he's going to get into the meat of the word. He's not having the milk. Well, that scripture says that, you know, milk is for newborn babes and that meat's for the, or solids. It's, I think it's, it reads solid food is for the full grown man.
Okay. What is right? The solid food? What is the meat of the solid food?
Something you got to chew on.
Right. Okay. But what does the Bible say the meat is? Somebody. Uh-oh. Well, go ahead, Matt. I mean, Pat.
In John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. And the milk of the word obviously is consuming. And so that we can grow. We can become aware and grow, but it's actually, when we're taking that word, applying it, and walking it out, and failing in it, and struggling in it, and identifying what holds me back from performing it, and etc., until I can comfortably walk in that word by faith. That is the word as we consume it, and it becomes part of us, and it becomes meat. It's meat for us, and we're able to live and exist upon that word. So I think isn't it in James where he said, be ye doers of the word? And
yes.
But anyway, that was.
So when you be doers of the word, what are you doing? You're doing exactly what Jesus told you to do, didn't you? Being doers of the word is when you read and study the word of God, you go ahead and start doing what the word says to do, right?
Correct.
That's the meat right there. That's the meat. It's not just being a studier of the word, somebody that studies the word all the time. But if you don't do what the word says, you're not bearing fruit, the word said. You have to do the word. But be ye doers of the word in James 1:22, and not hearers only. Deluding your own self. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. For he beholds himself and goes away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But if you read in the word of God what you're supposed to do, and you start doing it, then you're bearing the fruit of Jesus, because that's what he did. He did before us what he wants us to do. Everything that he did, he wants us to do. And that is all of the things he said in Matthew 5, 6 and 7, all of those things. And of course, the things he said after he was crucified, which was what? Somebody help me out here.
What are you asking, Michael?
What did Jesus tell the disciples to do? When he left, when he was before he left, yeah, Andrew.
What you did at Walmart and what Ben did.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, Julian. That's just one thing, though. What else did he do? He did what he told Katie to do, right? Also, go ahead, Julian.
Didn't he tell him to go out into all the world, making disciples?
Yep.
According to everything, I'm kind of paraphrasing, according to everything I've commanded you.
Yep. That's one of them. Yeah, it sure is. Absolutely. Yeah, Ben.
Mark chapter 16.
Yeah, that's one I was looking for.
And these signs shall follow them that have believed in my name. Shall they cast out demons, speak with tongues, and in their hands they shall take up serpents, and if they drink aught deadly, it shall no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen. That doesn't say to go out there and get you a snake just to try and test the Lord, does it?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And what happens, I knew some one or two people that would belong to one of those churches once before, long time ago. And he said about everybody in there is gimped up because of it. You know, they handle them snakes and they bite them. I said, well, what's that supposed to do for you? Oh, man, it makes you holy or something like that. I said, getting bit by a snake makes you holy? What kind of a religion are you in? But anyway.
You mean they do that with a campfire?
No, they do it in a church.
And no campfire in the church or anything to throw the snake?
No, they don't use that. That's not part of the deal, see. Yeah, that's what I do. I said, you bring a bucket of snakes over here and I'll show you what God would do with them. Oh, my gracious sakes alive. The things that people get themselves caught up in. Yeah. There's some of those, too. Yeah, Pat.
I was thinking about that back in Romans again, and it kind of ties in with what you're saying of doing the will of, you know, doing the word, doing the will of God. But, in verse 17, it said, "For if by the trespass of one death reigned through the one, much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one." And that gift of righteousness is that, it obviously is that gift of Jesus through our forgiveness of sin, which brings us into that place of justification, having received that grace and that forgiveness. And through that justification or guiltlessness, God then brings us, places us in that relationship of that was much like before the law, sin is not imputed unto them when there is no law before the law. And yet, as the Lord in that justification or guiltless relationship we have with him then controls the amount of guilt that he chooses to bring up in our life as we, in verse 20, the law came in besides that trespasses might abound. But and the Lord in our life chooses to enlighten us and bring us into a place of seeing specific portions of his word, which sheds, which brings us back into that condemnation or guilt stage, so to speak, which drives us to 1 John 1:9, where we confess our sin and are cleansed from that again in this cycle. And God, through a process of time in discipleship, in sanctification, makes us aware of the sin nature that dwells in our flesh, so that we become aware, more aware of his grace through the process, because the process always involves coming back to God's grace, God's forgiveness, for correction, for reproof, whatever the thing would be. God brings us back into that relationship with him as we confess our sin. And I'm looking at that gift of grace there in, where is it that I was looking at it? In 17, where I said that for the trespasses of one, death reigned through the one, much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace. And we know that it is by grace we were saved through faith. And that being connected in with doing the word, that grace the definition, if you go to Strong's and you read the definition of grace, which I like the definition they have there, but it is not only unmerited favor or God's divine favor upon us, but there is also coupled with that the aspect of God's influence upon our heart to bring forth change from within. The overcoming of sin happens through God's divine, unmerited, free gift of influence upon our heart to cooperate with his Spirit to overcome, even as he overcame. And so, because I think there's a tendency to look at grace in the one form and not the other form, or excluding the other form. There's the tendency to simply concentrate on God's divine, his favor toward us, his good favor toward us. And if we exclude the influence upon our heart portion of that, then we will tend to disconnect our need to obey and walk in his word, receiving his grace, receiving his that influence upon our heart to walk in his ways. So when I read 17 there, there's that aspect of that, that those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that righteousness which is in Christ, reign in this life. And down in verse 21, that as sin reigned in death, sin reigned in death by simply being the sin nature being within us, the potential to react and to react against all circumstances negatively, selfishly, unlovely, angrily, etc. That same God's influence in our heart is able to produce power to reign through Christ's righteousness unto the end result experiencing that in eternal life of Jesus through us. So I think even what we were talking about tonight in Romans also connects with what you were talking about, Michael, about doing the word of God, because that's where the grace comes into play. That's where that divine influence and power upon our heart actually hits the road and has to work out the details, so to speak. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. Yeah, that's good, Pat. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? I'm not going to start chapter 6 yet. Okay. Anybody want to talk about something else? Something else. You know what? Y'all ready to hear a good praise song? All right. Reckon where we could find one. I got one. That's all right. All right, let's see if I can get this thing going. Well, if I can get back to y'all, here we go. Give it a minute. It's got to warm up, I guess.
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
I like that song. That's a good one. Amen. All right. Any prayer requests before we close out tonight? Yeah, Katie.
for Dominic. He's still been struggling a lot and, you know, just in the world totally, you know, his living situation is bad too. He's living with worldly brothers that are just tearing him down, you know, but he feels like he has no way out because the rent prices where we live are so insanely high and he feels like this is the only place he can afford. But obviously the Lord will provide somewhere else for him because I know that it's not the Lord's will for him to be there at all. And yeah, it's just been a really long time since he's been around and it just has been breaking my heart. So if you guys could just pray that the Lord tugs on his heartstrings and pulls him back in whatever way that the Lord is going to do it, and just that he would do it and that he would be responsive to it.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Dominic to you. Lord, I ask that you do a work in him, a swift work in him, Lord, to bring him out of the situation he's in. And I break the power of Satan off of him, Father God, and I ask that you grant repentance back to him and bring it and draw it back in, Holy Spirit, and I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to see a quick work in this. I send the angels out there to be ministered to him, Lord. I pray the Lord of Harvest send somebody that he would listen to. An angel would be fine. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Dominic, you come back into the fold in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's a done deal. Anybody else? He came down and visited us one time. That was been quite a while ago.
Yeah, that was like right before everything turned upside down. It's just He started hanging out with worldly friends and you know how that goes. And I do feel for him, like his family, like everyone around him, he doesn't have any real support from anyone that's not worldly. And the rent prices are crazy here. So, but obviously the Lord will provide totally because I know that it's not his will for him to be there.
No. Well, he may have him there to get rid of some flesh. I don't know. But anyway, we'll see. Lord, you work on him. Get him ready to come into the kingdom. Because I know he knows what it's like. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Y'all be blessed. You hear? It's a good night tonight. I enjoyed it. Thank y'all. Bless you.